Niamh, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm really, really good. Tell me what part of the world you're in and why we're having a little chat this morning.
Well, I'm in Mauritius. I live here. But a few years ago, I was living in South Korea where I ate some dog.
Did you knowingly decide to dine on canine, or was it a shock to the system?
No. I deliberately went to a dog restaurant with some colleagues and ate it willingly.
You went to a dog restaurant with some colleagues?
Colleagues.
Oh, colleagues. Sorry. And what? How does it work on the menu? I mean, I was kind of being a bit flippant about it earlier on about South Korea, but I didn't realize there was a dog restaurant entirely dealing with dogs on the menu. So how do you? Is it like a curried Labrador? Is it is it pizza with a topping of Jack Russell? How does it work?
Actually, these restaurants tend to be specialized. So you'll see, they'll be advertised quite broadly. We eat a soup. It's a soup called Boshintang. So you'll see Boshintang restaurants everywhere. And basically, that's really all they serve. It's just a big dog soup. Not unlike lamb soup.
Okay.
Like stew, like an Irish stew.
Yeah. And do they advertise it with pictures of dogs, or is it simply
No.
Okay, that's just being silly. Now, do you know what class of dog the soup or the stew is made from?
I have no idea what I ate, but I know that a lot of people, in private terms, they eat a lot of kind of mongrels. You know, it'll be kind of like the child mongrel or the family mongrel they'll eat. They don't, they wouldn't have like great big, like breed dogs or anything.
So they'd get
I don't know what I ate.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious because if it's the family dog or whatever, it would probably be quite old, or are they bred for restaurants, I wonder? I'm just not that familiar with this.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I have no idea, but I do know that when private individuals tend, like when they want to make dog soup, they just tend to take their local dog or their family dog. But the restaurants themselves, I have no idea if they breed them or what happens.
Well,
but it's common. It's very popular.
Yeah. And how was it for you? Yeah. How was your dog stew?
I didn't like it. I really, really regret having done it. I think the reason I did it was I felt that being in Korea, I wanted to kind of join in and get as much from it culturally as I could. And after a while, after eating it, I just really regretted it. I do remember on the day I had been working, and it was quite late in the evening, and I was really hungry. So I wolfed it down. I ate so much of it. But like I said, it's something that I'm not happy I did now in retrospect.
I understand why you did it, because you had a when in Rome sort of feeling going on. But why did you regret it?
Yeah.
What was the nature of your regret?
Because afterwards I heard stories about how the dogs are treated. Mm. And I mean, dogs aren't particularly tender, so there are certain ways they tenderize the meat before they cook it. And it is quite cruel. I mean, I'm sure on the internet you could find people arguing that it's not cruel, but my own research kind of suggested to me that it's just not a very nice industry.
Right. What did it taste like?
Lamb. It tasted like lamb. And I don't really like lamb, so that kind of just added to my distaste.
But don't you think, though, Niamh, that we as humans, and most humans like dogs as pets and people, as animals that we love as members of the family almost, do you think that there was an element of that you just, oh my God, I've just eaten lassie, rather than sheep or lambs, rather, or we just see them as just another lamb, we don't personalise them, if you know what I mean?
Well, I love dogs. I grew up with, we always had dogs in the house, and I have a lovely dog here.
Perhaps
there's an element of that. I don't think I thought about it like that at the time, and I don't think about it often. Mm-hmm. It's just I heard you on the radio, somebody saying that there is no dog restaurants, and I'm like, no, there are. Mm-hmm. There really are.
So what are you doing in Mauritius? What brought you over there?
I met a Mauritian man working in Dublin, and we met many years ago now, about 6 or 7 years ago,
yeah.
And we got married 2 years ago, so I've been here for 2 years.
And where did you meet him?
We were working together in Dublin.
Doing what?
I was, we were both working for a language school.
Oh, okay. And he convinced you to go to
yeah.
his home turf rather than you staying in yours?
Well, I'm sure, like many of your listeners and their families, my decision was influenced by the fact that, you know, the unemployment in Ireland,
yeah.
and I figured that, I mean, I have, you know, I've got my degrees and I've got a quite good job here, and I figured that it would be easier for me to get a good job in Mauritius than it would be for my husband to get a good job in Ireland.
Okay.
So that was how we decided, and... And the cost of living is quite low here. We have our own house now. We have, you know, it's quite comfortable here. Mm. And I know there are things that we just couldn't afford if we were living in Ireland.
And you listen to us on what time is it over there?
Every day I listen to you. You begin at 12 o'clock and now it's 1:45.
Okay.
So it's perfect timing when I'm at home.
So we're your kind of lunchtime date, really, of a given day.
Yeah, you're my company when I'm doing the housework.
Oh, good. Okay, radio to Hoover too. That's new. Good stuff. Well, it's really
yes.
nice. It's really nice to talk to you, Niamh. Thanks for talking to us today. And good luck. Have a lovely day. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon there.
You enjoy your day too. Thanks very much, Ryan.
Bye for now. That's Niamh from Mauritius. What a lovely person and a nice call to take. And also a bit of clarification on the dog dining situation in South Korea. All sorts going on, really. 16 minutes to 11 o'clock. And on the dogs, meat is meat to me. I would eat any type of meat in general. But the problem I have with eating dogs in Asian countries is that they believe that the more the dog suffers, the more the meat is going to taste better. How do they think that? I don't even agree with putting living lobster alive into boiling hot water. You can freeze them and it puts them to sleep. Sounds a little more humane. Alan was on to say, when backpacking through Vietnam and wandering through the streets of Hanoi, we stumbled across a street there, a dog street. I was absolutely horrified. You walk down, you pick your rover, and then they cook it up there and then. No. Apparently it dates back thousands of years and seems to be a present from the Chinese. It's mainly eaten in the north of the country and is believed to bring good luck and male virility. Give me a steak any day, says Alan. Yeah, that's a good point. On the lobster, with regard to the guy... With the lobster, how is freezing the lobster to death less cruel than boiling it? Peter wants to know. I'm not sure. I don't eat a lobster, so I don't know. Although, if you want to give yourself a small laugh, YouTube Peter Griffin and Iraq lobster.